I got a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
You posted your pictures from the boudoir workshop.
Right, yeah.
Comic Sans.
Oh, yeah, I knew. I was waiting for
Comic Sans.
You know what? I kind of thought that I'll put it up and I'll count to three.
Comic
to
see Sans.
Okay. So I know you as well as I know you as well as I thought I did.
I wasn't gonna dignify it with a response. I ran it. Oh my goodness. All right, let's just get in the show. I'll give it to you later. That's just terrible. Yeah. Thanks for ruining my week. Hello and welcome to episode 167 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, Canada.
What's going on, Adam?
Really early here with the old time change.
It's the daylight savings, but we don't have it yet.
Yeah, we have
it. It's a 3-week delay over here, so that really... Thanks a lot, George Bush.
Yeah.
I believe that was him. That was his doing.
So if you can you hear the intensity in my voice?
This is my normal wake up time. Like there's no point in getting into that. Let's just move on.
Yeah, no, I'm super energetic.
You're into it. Good. Didn't have coffee this morning?
No, I rolled out
of
bed.
Your kids are how old is your oldest kid?
Almost 7.
Are you sure? I thought she was about 9.
No.
Almost 7. I feel like for her 7th birthday, you should get her a manual on how to run your coffee machine.
She probably would, dude, because there's, you know, grinding, yeah. And there's a whole sequence.
No, I know how coffee works.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, no, I enjoy it myself.
Well, now people just throw pucks into a machine and push start.
Oh, no, I'm a purist.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So I feel like you could teach her to get up and make you coffee in the morning. For her 7th birthday.
Okay, that sounds good.
I mean, there's kids in you know, countries that are making your iPad for you who are younger than that.
That's true.
Oh, he got political at 6:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Amazon. If you're going to buy your coffee, I'd buy it on Amazon through our site.
Yes.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you buy coffee on Amazon? Probably.
I'm sure you can buy coffee grinders.
Sure. I bought some cones, traffic cones, the other day.
On Amazon?
Yeah.
You're practicing driving?
No. No, no. Friends of ours, they have a son who's turning 4 tomorrow. And he wanted cones.
Hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't play hockey or soccer or anything. He just apparently likes taping off his room as if it's a construction site. No, I'm not even joking. I wish I was joking.
No, that's why I got that... Yeah. That makes me laugh because that is awesome.
It's not even like he doesn't like doing the hammering and whatnot. It's the taping off.
Yeah. Get him a super industrial roll of caution tape?
I bought him a porta potty just to put into his bathroom. So go to the porta john.
Yeah. You should show up wearing a hard hat and one of those bright orange vests next time you go over to his place.
That's a great idea.
He would love that.
He would love that. He wouldn't let me in the room, though. Still. Taped off, buddy. Hey, you see the cones? So I bought those. Are we past the Comic Sans now?
Yeah, we're past. Well, I hope you are.
Oh, I'm never going to get past it.
But you have to
understand. Although I knew your motivation behind it.
You have to understand that, yes, that was done with, that was kind of like about behind the scenes joke for you. It was just like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to do it. And I know how bad it would sting you, but still, yeah. I realize the,
it is the two hosers though. It's not the one hoser. So technically it stings both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. But all I know is that was going to get people, to have a look at our website and the two hosers. And PS, when you take pictures of good-looking females in lingerie, a lot of people check it out.
Yeah. And they go, wow, this guy must be professional. he's using Comic Sans.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what they do.
They either think that you don't either you're a time traveler from 1994, or you're being one of these ironic hipsters wearing the glasses and the skinny jeans.
Right.
Maybe. Anyways, I got a completely random question for you. This is just like nothing to do. It maybe it doesn't matter. I'll ask you.
Okay.
I want you to name an artist, like a painter, a famous artist. Go.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Wow. Okay.
I was gonna say Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's pretty good though.
Yeah.
In the Titanic, he does the sketching. But, okay. We'll name a painting then.
The Sixtine Chapel.
The Sixtine Chapel. That's wonderful.
It's a painting.
Not really.
Well, it's a mural.
The Sistine Chapel is.
That's what I meant to say. I couldn't get it out. Yeah.
Sure.
I knew you'd correct me.
The Sistine Chapel is an actual chapel, though, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a painting.
And then the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ceiling that he did paint. And that wasn't Da Vinci. That was Michelangelo.
Michelangelo,
turtle.
Yeah. They're all...
That was the other mutant ninja turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the Mona Lisa.
There you go. Okay, so I just was talking to my wife last night, and I forget where I came up, but she asked. She's like, hey, do you think Picasso is the most well-known painter? Like, if you just asked random people to name a painter, do you think most would name Picasso? And I agreed, but I said I would ask you.
Hmm.
And then she said that she figured that people would, however, if you just asked people to name a painting, they would say the Mona Lisa would be the most famous painting.
Yes, I would definitely say. Well, it's 'cause of the name, though, right?
The Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, no other painting names just sort of jump out at you. Name one. You've been thinking about this, so you probably have a couple of
names. No. I know what I would do, but I would probably be, I'd try to be clever or something like that and be different.
Oh.
So my answer is always Rembrandt.
Okay.
Not always. I've never been asked this question before, except for last night, and I answered Rembrandt, so...
And do you know a name of a painting?
The Night Watch, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, or just Night Watch. I don't think it's the. I think Hasselhoff added that later with Pamela Anderson. So I thought Picasso, but you got the painting. She figured Mona Lisa was the painting that everyone would name.
So she confirmed it. So one out of one subjects say.
I still think you got it right across the board because he did paint it. Da Vinci did paint it.
Okay, so there you go.
And invented the helicopter, from what I understand.
Yeah, there was a big exhibit at Science World in Vancouver that showed all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah, it was a big Da Vinci exhibit, and it showed all of the, engineering kind of design work that he did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fantastic exhibit. I had no idea.
All right.
But a lot of it had to do with flight and flying machines. And
so not there anymore, though, so don't bother heading down.
Yeah, yeah, don't go now. It was about a year and a half ago.
It's probably traveling around somewhere.
Yeah.
So, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I shot some pictures of my son Jack's hockey. So I did that. That was they had their final game. They only got two games, one at Christmas time. In the first year of hockey here, it's mostly skills practice. So we got one final game that they played against a different association, which was quite funny to watch. So I took some pictures of that.
And? Good.
And, the pictures, they're okay. Again, shot it with the 70-200 in essentially, one of the darkest arenas in the planet. So I get some...
Name. Which arena?
The last arena on the end. I think it's called...
It's at six rinks there?
Yeah. I think it's called the garage or something. It was pretty pretty dim. And so I had the ISO cranked to, 8,000. And I was shooting mostly at F4 because at one, 640th to 1/800th of a second. So when they would totally stop and take a face off, I would sort of drop it and then I could get better shots. But yeah, when they're skating around, unfortunately, it's pretty dark. So I had to completely jack the ISO.
But you already have pictures of your kid.
Yeah, I wanted some of these sort of game shots, especially because they were playing a different association. So you see the different jerseys and stuff. And I did get a couple of neat shots. He had a he had a sort of a semi breakaway with another kid, and him and the other kid are both sort of trying to shoot the puck simultaneously at the goalie, and the goalie's kind of sliding across and falling. I'll post it at some point, but it's pretty cute. Of course, the goalie makes just the goalie's five, makes just a ridiculous save, and Jack comes back to the bench and he's just got a big grin on his face. He's like, so close. But it was pretty cute. Yeah. So we had a good time, and yeah, that was about it for photo. Oh, no, that's a lie. Yesterday I went to his preschool and took some photos of him and their big buddies. They have kids in like grade six that are sort of teamed up with the class, mm-hmm. and they come and do activities. So took some pictures of the kids with their big buddies doing sewing in the preschool. So
doing what do you sew, like with a machine or with
hand? No, just hand sewing. They were sewing like making little miniature pillows. So they'd sew like a button or two or three on a little pillow. So they had a little piece of fabric on one side, and they stuff it with whatever, and then uh-huh. they'd sew around the edges. So I took some pictures of that.
That sounds riveting.
Yeah, so I got tons of pictures that I haven't looked at all.
12 to 18 framers, I bet, out of
yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. No, I kind of, you know, what I do is I usually give some back to the preschool. That was the intent, was I'll take some pictures, give them to the preschool, and then they use them at their year-end slideshow kind of thing.
Right.
That's it.
Good.
How about you?
Sunshine, man. Sunshine. The sunshine is here. Not today. Today, of the first day in a week where it's actually cloudy and kind of lousy. But it's been like 20 degrees or it's 18, I don't know, something like that.
Right.
For the American listeners, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. Times it by 9 over 5 and add 32 if you want. But
everybody's at their computer trying to sort it out right now.
Yeah, they're all super concerned about Fahrenheit. And so the sun came out, so we've been out playing a lot and just, you know, shooting sunshine photos, which is always... It's always difficult, but lately, for some reason, in the last couple of months, I have no explanation why, but I've been overexposing a lot.
Okay.
For some reason, I don't know what it is, this is on all three cameras. I'm using the histogram to check, and everything looks good. And I'm just finding that my pictures, I'm having to crank down the exposure a little bit on an awful lot.
In post, you mean?
Yeah. But so I don't know what I'm doing.
Is that maybe the monitor calibration time, or
it might be? I think I've done it.
If the histogram looks good, though, I don't get it.
I think it looks good. It could be me. I could be one of those guys, you know, just thinking, oh man, I want to get some shadow detail, so I'm overexposing a little bit, just to be on the safe side, and I don't know. I don't have an answer. I wish I had an answer for you. In coming weeks, I'll have an answer and I'll start shooting better. But the couple times where I've underexposed, I've gone two-thirds below what I normally would, I'm getting great results.
And wasn't that your go-to move?
When I shoot AV mode, it is, yeah. And then same here. Like I tend to stop it down, but now I'm even going down another third or two-thirds on top of that and getting good results. This is we're talking available light, we're talking inside, outside, with flash, it doesn't matter. I'm just everything's kind of hot.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And like I said, doesn't matter what lens, doesn't matter what camera, it's just across the board. So this I think the problem is me.
Okay. Or time to calibrate your monitor again.
It is. No, that's been done fairly recently. So I'm comparing it on different monitors and it's the same thing.
Okay. And even on your iPad and the whole deal.
Yeah, well, the iPad's, that's different. I don't know. I find with your iPad, it's everything looks good. Like, it's got
that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how badly you overexpose. I think the iPad knows and goes, no, you meant this, dummy. And then it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that's why people post their pictures they take. Go, oh, man, check it out. And like, no, it's not. It's your iPad.
Right.
Your iPad's doing good, not you. So did that, and then, I made another video for my baseball team.
Right.
Did you see that one?
I did. That was the one where they're getting the whole field ready.
Getting the field ready, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Try to keep it interesting, and you do that by making it 75 seconds long.
Right.
And even then, it's a little long.
I got the point, the field was getting ready. No, I thought it looked good.
even though it was in German, you sort of figured the story out.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Who are those for?
Who are which for?
Those videos.
Oh, for you, for everybody to watch.
No, no, no. I know, but what was the intention of you making them? Are they the baseball team going to post them on their website? Is that for TV? What's that for?
It's just for sharing online.
Yeah,
it's just for no. Like the baseball
team. Is that really?
Team.
Yeah, that's really.
Yeah. They post it. It's just just trying to create a bunch of broader presence for our team because we live in a small town here, and the teams that we play against. Live in big towns, like big cities with big budgets. Like, for instance, the team out of Munich plays at a place called Regensburg. They have a huge stadium. And they have, their budget is humongous. They have a car rental as their main sponsor, car rental company. And
You should play for them.
Yeah, it's a 2.5-hour commute, though.
Right.
So I'm going to pass. But, so yeah, they have a much broader presence, and so what do you do if you don't have a budget and you don't have that kind of thing? Well, you hope that a guy on your team can take good photos and make videos,
right?
And then you double hope that he offers to do it, which I did.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to just kind of spread it around and make sure the other 15 teams in the Bundesliga, the top league, see them and want to share them and just kind of get the ball rolling.
Right. I see.
So far, the views aren't overwhelming, but it's kind of early, and hopefully, the more videos that we do, just kind of show people what's going on. And people in Tubingen have no idea that there is a baseball team or a field or anything. It's just not something that you think of, and so we're trying to create a much larger presence, and so get a lot more exposure, so people kind of accept it and understand it, and maybe want to come out and hey, I'll go see a game.
Right.
There you go.
Okay.
So that's the idea. And that's just a little snippet of what goes on about getting the field ready, what it takes.
Okay.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Have you ever seen that movie?
No, you know what? I haven't, but I've been meaning to watch it. That's funny because it's on Netflix, and I keep scanning by it and like, I should really watch that. I hear it's a very good movie, but it's one of those movies that the intention is there. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Do it, honestly. Do it. It is one of my favorite movies, and it's funny because I didn't know it was on Netflix. I own it on DVD, and so I've seen it many times. I love that movie, and then it's one of those ones that I had sworn that I made my wife watch it early on in our relationship, so we never. And she can't watch movies twice. She hates doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I have no problem. So anyway, so I thought the other day, a couple weeks ago, we're flipping through Netflix, and I saw it, and I said, oh, yeah, you must have seen this. And she hadn't. And so I said, oh, we're on it. And so we jumped on it, and she loved it.
Okay.
She's like, this is the kind of movie I love. And it really is. It's a fantastic movie, great performances. Leo DiCaprio, interestingly enough. I wrote this down before you even said Leo DiCaprio, but... And it was before he was famous, and so he plays a handicapped kid, or whatever you're supposed to call it now. I'm sorry if I'm offending someone by saying that, but I don't know what the proper term is. Downs.
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, he's the kid. The character has Down syndrome.
I haven't seen it, so
there you go. You will. You'll know.
Okay.
Anyways, the point was this is before he was really famous, and so people had thought. That the actor actually, had Downs as well, but nope, just did a good job. Anyways, the reason it comes up on the show is the photography in it is fantastic. The lighting, some of the scenes that they shoot, like at sunset and stuff like that, it really looks amazing.
Okay.
Stuff you're going to want to replicate in your photographs.
Can't wait. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Make it your next one. Your wife's going to love it. She may have already seen it. She may have. Yeah, it is outstanding.
Okay. So,
there you go. Did you watch the video I put in our Dropbox?
The Cinema Lens one.
Yeah.
Yes, I watched it.
What'd you think?
I thought...
Be honest. Don't pull punches here.
Who am I to critique video work? I mean...
No, I mean, it all cuts together fine. It's framed fine.
What I'm saying is
I set out to make a short video about the cinema lens that I talked about a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And explain what it is.
Yeah. No, I understood what it was. You know, it's funny. After I watched the video, and then immediately I went on different photography store selling sites. I'm having trouble articulating this morning. But I basically looked up the lenses, and I was interested to see, okay, well, what were the reviews on the lenses, and what were the different focal lengths, and blah, blah, blah. So I did my research right after to kind of... And pretty much they got glowing reviews across the board. So everything you said that you like about it seems to be a consensus among others. And I understood exactly what you meant by the video in terms of how it would be helpful to use that for video.
So, okay, so A, not, is it too long?
No, I think it's just the right amount. For anybody who's not interested in the subject matter is going to turn it off as soon as you start making tape marks and that.
Yeah, I think
but,
so.
But anybody who is interested at that point is going to keep watching and potentially do what I did, which is look up how much these lenses are locally.
Okay, I'll post it then.
Yeah, definitely. I think worth posting. And
I held off posting it because I thought maybe it was a little bit boring.
No, I liked it, and I don't have any intention of buying a lens. So, but that's the thing. This is good salesmanship because I got as far as pricing them all out, and in the back of my mind, sort of saying, "Do I need one of these?"
I told you at the beginning, you don't.
No, I know, but that's the thing. That's good salesmanship. You didn't over push it. Yeah. And therefore somehow I got interested. So
yeah.
I'm not going to buy one yet, but I don't really need any more lenses at this time. But I definitely could see if I was better at taking videos in general, and again, maybe that's just something I have to aspire to, then I think I would love that.
It is. It's a good lens.
Yeah,
as I've said many times, and in the video, so I'll post that. Look for that up on our YouTube. I'll post that on our site.
You know what my trick to making videos is? This is a secret. So I can't believe I'm giving this away. Get sharp focus again, live view, and then make sure, in this case, my kids, but your actors never move.
We call that still photography.
Yeah. That's my move for video.
Well, that's essentially what it is. Like what you end up having to do, like with those autofocus lenses when you shoot video, it's you really are limited with what you can do.
Yeah.
And so with these lenses, like I say new lenses, but they're not. This is old lenses that are now essentially retrofitted. They're new, but this is what we used to use. Like you shot 16mm film, you don't have autofocus. And so this is exactly how you do it. You mark points on the barrel that you put tape, and that's how you do it.
Right.
That's how they do it in Hollywood.
So I have a question because you showed a couple of little example clips, and the second example clip that you used, you had sort of a focus. I guess it was on something. You were rolling the camera towards your object. Is that you were saying about a dolly? And so as you're shifting the focus from point A to point B, right, you have both things marked. You know exactly where it's going to go. But it seemed like the camera stayed in focus on the subject the whole time.
Yes.
How is that? That's just getting used to the speed of movement versus lens movement.
Yes. It takes a little bit of practice, is to understand. Like, you know, like I'm basically moving the dolly with my left hand because it's just a little dolly. It's just a little
something with wheels and a platform.
I'll show it sometime. Yeah, it's something my dad made for me, and so I'm moving that with my left hand, and with my right hand, I'm actually doing the focus.
Right, but you have to do those two things at just the right speed
in
order for it to stay in focus the whole time.
That wasn't my first take.
Right, okay.
So that was probably take three. So, it's easy to get A and B,
right,
but getting all the letters in between, which, P.S., there aren't any. So I should have said A and Z, but that would just be for the Americans. So A and Z,
right.
Getting all those letters in between to stay in focus, that is a bit of a trick, and it takes a little bit of practice. Also, it will depend. That's why you kind of want to stop down a little bit, maybe shoot that at an f/5.6 instead of an f/2, because then you have a little more wiggle room.
And I think that's why when you see kind of behind the scenes shooting of movies, don't they usually seem to be going sideways? Like they're kind of on a wire or whatever, and the camera's moving with somebody, but like keeping the same focal distance.
Oftentimes,
yeah.
Or they'll be doing a walk and talk, and you know, you'll have to. What will end up happening is oftentimes you'll lay a dolly track down, and it's like train tracks. And so the actors will have to kind of walk in the middle of the train tracks. And you don't see the train tracks, but you see them walking through them as they walk. So it's kind of funny.
And then the dolly just kind of slides along that, or?
Yeah, and it goes along like a train, essentially.
Right. Okay.
And so the idea there is you want to move the dolly at the same speed as the actors to maintain the same distance.
Right, right.
That way you don't have to pull focus. Or anything sideways is you don't really have to pull focus, but oftentimes they will dolly in, dolly out, and or have your actors, when the actors move, then you have to change focus as well.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets tricky, that you just have to practice, you have to rehearse everything, and actors have to hit their marks for that reason.
Oh my gosh, my wife just came in with coffee.
Wow.
Yeah, just handed me a cup of freshly brewed coffee. you know what? You should start a video podcast, but I don't have any more time, so you're gonna have to recruit some other rookie to teach them up, right? I'm one podcast a week guy.
Yeah, at this point, me too. Unfortunately,
how's the dad podcast going? By the way,
oh that was dead on arrival.
Okay, I heard the first episode and I thought it was great. So
yeah.
I keep checking the website for the second, but
that was 3 years ago. So I gauged interest and thought, we'll skip that. But
yeah, you should put a link to the first dad episode on the website because it's like X-rated, right?
It is. There was some filthy talk, not filthy, but there's, I don't know, somebody sweared, and so. Enough about that. Photo challenge.
Okay.
Let's get into the photo challenge. First of all, well, tell us the photo challenge. What did you call it?
I think I called it Family Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Let me just go ahead and tell you that, yes, I hate you.
Why?
And not the kind of hate you where it's like, oh, I hate you. It's like, if I was Phil Collins and you were that drowning guy, that's how much I hate you. I can feel it.
Okay.
Coming in the air tonight.
Right.
Hold on. Because my kid does not cooperate. That's why I hate you.
Oh, this is the baby or your 2.5-year-old?
The baby. Luckily, my camera has a shutter speed of 1/8,000th of a second, so I can capture the very moment that he's not crying. But no, my 2.5-year-old is just... Oh, you want me to do this? No. And she's smart enough to know when I'm trying to game her and do the reverse psychology. She's like, oh, you want to reverse psychology me? No, no. Dad, come on. This is crazy. Why are you trying this? So this was like pulling teeth. And
you
so
could have used an old picture and cut her out and put her in.
That seems like effort.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I had something, like, I wasn't really sure when you described this. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to try to make a picture look like it's one picture. So we'll start with mine.
Okay.
I want to make it look like it's one photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And not like where you look at it and go, okay, that could be one photograph or it could be all together, whatever. I wanted to make it look like, holy cow, it's one. And so I got set up and then I managed to quickly photograph my wife. Because everyone's sitting in the same chair. Here.
Right.
And so I wanted it to look like one table instead, but it doesn't really. And I didn't have time to tweak the lighting and it just the fall off was more than I expected. Mm-hmm. So you see the fall off camera left.
Yeah.
In each of the images. And so I tried to stitch them together and it was so much work that I just said, "No, no. Oh no, this works better as a triptych." That's what I meant. I meant to do a triptych.
Mm-hmm.
Or triptych, I don't know. Regardless, that's what that is. Okay. So there you go.
I like each photo individually. I'm not so sure about the one of you. I like the one of Emily and the one of your wife and Sam. But yeah, yours is you're trying too hard in yours.
Would you prefer that I be in focus?
Sure.
Because it's hard to tell in this one.
I didn't look close enough.
Yeah, no, it's hard to tell in this one, but I'm slightly out of focus.
No, that wasn't my gripe. It was your expression. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This was what we call a one-shot wonder. I had one shot at this before I had a photograph of me losing my mind.
See, I think you should... I don't know if it's too hard now to replicate the lighting if that was all lit or if there was some ambient, but I really do like the picture of the other two. So mm-hmm. if you could somehow manage a... I don't know, less sarcastic kind of expression.
No, that is the opposite of sarcasm for me right there. that's me being genuine.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well then, good job.
Yeah. Hey, mission accomplished.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I kind of like the technique with a little bit of work. And again, this was not only was she not cooperating, we had legitimately had a window of 6 minutes to do this in before we had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the added time pressure. So this was just one light in the cue box thrown up, no ambient light, and I just kind of made sure we had enough fall off so the white wall would go gray.
Right.
And there you go. It is what it is. I'm not going to cry about it.
Okay, here's mine then.
Okay, let's do yours. Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah. No, I really like mine.
Mm-hmm, I do too.
Mine was, the idea was basically based on, did we talk about this? I know we talked about it off the air. Did we talk
off
about it?
Off the air. Okay. We didn't talk about it on the air.
Okay. So the idea, I think I built up the fact that I was going to do something cool and great, and hopefully mm-hmm. I didn't oversell it, but the idea is based on those family sticker decals.
Right.
That, I don't know, do they have those in Germany?
No.
You know, they're like, I think if you Google stick figure family or family stickers, mm-hmm. there's a zillion sites that sell these stickers that are essentially, you know, you have a choice of a million different dads, whether he's barbecuing, playing tennis, golf, whatever you think singularly identifies you, you can get a sticker decal, and then you put one for every member of your family. And if you have a cat, you get a cat and a dog and all those. I hate those stickers. Like, I hate those stickers, and any listener who's got one of those stickers, I hope after you listen to this, you just peel it off and throw it away. No, I don't care
said,
if you do or
said
not.
Said the guy who uses Comic Sans.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, we all have our little things, and one of my things is I hate those stickers. The funny thing is when you Google those stickers, you'll find a lot of other stickers poking fun and hating those stickers. So I don't think I'm the only one that hates those stickers, but
okay.
Regardless, this was sort of my take on, okay, the idea behind it, I don't have a problem with, you know, identifying yourself in a photo. I like the idea of the family photo version, but based on the idea, I'm not going to turn this into a sticker decal and pin it on the back of my vehicle, though. So.
Right.
Here's sort of the idea put in photography terms. So my wife is sort of the professional. This is sort of a typical outfit she would wear for work. My daughter is big into
by professional, do you mean like from East Germany?
I'll tell her you said that.
Yeah.
So then my daughter, again, she identifies herself as sort of the dancer, and she likes costumes and bright clothing. So she went and handpicked this, even though I was sort of saying, oh, maybe something you wear to school. Nope, this was her. So I was fine because, again, it was her selection. My son is all about hockey right now, so he got his hockey jersey and his stick out, and then I just tried to sort of make the colors work, so that's why I chose a red shirt to match with my daughter's mm-hmm. dress, and of course I grabbed a camera, and I liked the contrast between you know, the sweatshirt I was wearing and the black camera, so I thought the colors worked, and yeah, so there you go. So those were all just shot on a white background, just everyone took their turn, same lighting setup, you know, three light setup, one light on the subject, and then two lights to light the paper, and then just bing bang boom. Then in Photoshop, keeping everything consistent, it just was a matter of trying to get the shadows in the background to kind of work. So all the stuff around our feet and everything is the light that we got from lighting the photos, and then I just had to make the background sort of blend together. So that was a bit of work. I probably spent 20 minutes to half an hour trying to blend the background. So it was a bit of work, but love mm-hmm. the result, and I'll probably get it printed. So
nice. Yeah, yeah. No, it looks good. I've done this before. It's very similar when people like to spell out the word friends.
Okay.
With their bodies.
Oh, I remember you did one like way back, early podcast days. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what we did. I shot each of them spelling out a different letter and then pieced them all together exactly like this. But not like it. I Googled the stick figures while you were telling me about this.
Right.
And you're right. I'm not getting those.
Yeah.
I've never seen those before.
Oh, gosh. They're everywhere here.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah. I should have taken a picture of someone's car and just posted it. But, I mean, I thought if anybody really wants to look, they'll just Google it if they don't know what we're talking about. But, yeah, it's kind of annoying, but that's just me. So
I see a lot of applications with, like, it's nice to have the seamless white background too.
Yes, yeah,
that's very key. I do not have that, and so
no,
it looks great.
And I thought that hopefully nobody steals my idea as a business, but I just thought that this singularly, just the idea of okay, you want one family photo. This would be an easy shot for any client ever who's got a family and wants a nice family photo because you wouldn't have to shoot 8 different setups. You just need one setup. And once you got the editing part down to a fine art, you'd be done. So I took, I think, 3 or 4 pictures of each person here. So I did not spend much time at all. And once I was happy, then it's just a matter of gluing it all together. So I just think with an uncooperative family shoot, this would be easy. If you could get one half decent full length shot of a kid, then now you could come away with a great family photo, right? So
great.
There you go.
I see a lot of
You're welcome, Huffington Post.
I can hear all of Poland scrambling right now to turn this into a business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait till it happens. Okay, we got to, we got to date stamp this. And
I don't know if you're the first person to invent this, though.
Okay, well, you find one done earlier. Well,
just specifically like this, I don't know if with this configuration, but this is how they shoot pretty much every Hollywood poster ever. Because the actors won't get together in the same room because they all have egos or something.
Right. No, I'm just saying this is a very specific application. So let's just wait. Let's just wait and let's just wait. No, it's Hungary, I think, that's going to rip us off.
It's Hungary. Yeah. Poland's not going to do it.
When they watermark their images in Comic Sans that they're just screwing with us.
That's how we know. Oh, yeah. You're diabolical, man. You thought this out. You're Machiavellian in the way that you planned this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, method to your madness, my man. Great.
I'm done. End. That's it. Yeah. Great. Good night. Good night, everybody.
No. This week's topic, Adam's Boudoir. No, it's okay. We can't call it Adam's Boudoir Workshop. Just Boudoir Workshop, because it wasn't yours. You just attended.
No, it was Dwayne Gervin.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Dwayne Gervin, invited me out to, let's call it a Boudoir Workshop. He does these... he organizes these photography meetups. I guess that's what I would call it.
Okay, so is it a work? Does he teach or is it just
hey? He does teach. He sort of spends the first 45 minutes or so going over, the different light modifiers that are going to be used and how to use them. And I'd say that the experience level is probably pretty good. Like a lot of these photographers, I've done a workshop with Dwayne once before, and a lot of these same photographers were there again. So I think he has a number of people that like attending his sort of workshops. And what he does is he gets a group of models, and he gets a group of makeup artists, and then the photographers. And they get a studio space somewhere, and they have a few different setups. And so he talks about, what each of the different modifiers does and how he uses them. And then basically you break off into little groups and different stations, and you go and shoot, right? So the shooting part isn't with a whole bunch of critique or anything. So in a sense, it's kind of like what you make of it. And they wander around, and they kind of give you feedback. But I think everyone just, basically takes a bunch of shots, and then... at the end of the day, you kind of send back your favorite photos to the meetup group so that the models have stuff, because the models are basically volunteering their time. So the models aren't being paid, but it is a way for them to also build their portfolios. So out of it, they got, I think there was maybe 15 photographers at the workshop. They must have got, I don't know, easily 150 or 200 images that they can then turn around and use for their own clients. So Gotcha. It works for everybody, but yeah, it was a really good time. A lot of good people. Did some marketing for the Two Hosers. Handed out some cards, so I thought you'd be happy.
Did you cross out our logo and put use Comic Sans?
Yeah, I think I did. I can't remember, but
I'm beating the dead horse now.
Yeah, but no, it was good. I think a lot of people were receptive. Dwayne really does a good job of marketing for us. So yeah, he says a lot of kind words. So yeah, no, I think it was good. I had a lot of questions. I had guys specifically ask for cards. So there you go. Yeah. So, but as far as the shoot goes, I'm sure you've got specific questions, right? Do you have anything specific that you
No, just in general, was it fun?
Yes. Is that the end?
Yeah, it was drive fun. Safe. So drive safe. No, because this is the kind of thing where, I don't imagine you're going to do a whole lot of boudoir photography moving forward.
No, it's not. You know, it's not
whether
really
it be
on
a career. No, and me neither. However, I'm going to go ahead and assume that you'll learn a bunch regardless that you can use in other walks of photography.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the whole. I'm not exactly sure where to start, but this sort of if anyone gets an opportunity to do something like this, and I imagine there are lots of opportunities. You just have to look for them in Vancouver. And I'm thinking that this site probably is international. There's a site called meetup.com. Have you heard of this? Meetup.com?
No.
Okay. Well, anyways, it seems to be a huge way that photographers meet and get together for photo walks, for workshops like this. Tons and tons of photographers on there. And so Dwayne has his little, he has his company that does workshops just right on the Meetup site. And whenever he has an upcoming event, it sends out an email if you're part of his group, right? So you can join all kinds of photography groups on this site. And then you find out what's going on in your area. So you just have to join up. There's no fee to join up to a group. And then you're kind of like any other social media, you're following what that group does. And then, yeah, if he's got a workshop, he puts it out. So his is like, I think it's called Light Gangsta. Is his group in Vancouver for anyone who wants to check it out. And then you join that group and then you're privy to whatever information comes out. You could also look at the pictures that get posted from others on that group and comment on them once you're joined up. So anyways, this seems like a great idea across the board. So now I'm part of that group and I'll see when things come out. But basically, I went to the workshop and you meet up with a bunch of other photographers and you go into these little groups and then you've got a model and some lighting and then it's kind of like go to it. So why don't you ask me
what is it like to work with a professional model? I mean that's the kind of thing. Did Dwayne show you like some poses to go through or did they already have them?
No, I think it was kind of up to the photographers and what you want to do. So for me, that's kind of the hard part because I don't have a ton of experience posing models, right? Like, so telling them what looks good. So I kind of sat back a bit and I felt like, you know, I was being sort of brought to this workshop sort of pro bono. So I just thought I would, you know, help other people. I'd move the lights around for them and I'd take a few shots, but I kind of felt like I'd rather sort of do more helping than just kind of get in there and aggressively shoot. So I kind of hung back and I moved the light around because, you know, people always feel like, you know, in a group like that, like they just want to leave everything still and then just, you know, they're moving around, but not necessarily putting the light in the right place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I watched what people did and how they asked the models to move and also looked at the comfort level of the models. And what I basically found, and this may be a generalization, but I kind of saw where they looked comfortable and then I basically just shot my photos in those positions. So I just sort of had them go back to with if it was a lying down pose or if it was just a sitting pose, wherever I thought they looked most comfortable with the other people. And then I shot my photos that way. And I probably shot very few photos just in relation to the average, I'd say. So I was kind of, you know, because you put the trigger on your camera, it's all off camera lighting. So you had a light trigger, one per station to use. And so you'd take your shots and then you'd pass it off to the next guy. And so I was with two other guys in my station. So I would just snap off, I'd say, I don't know, 15, 20 shots. And then I would just, yep, got it, move along, right? So that I could assist more than anything.
Right.
So it was all about how I could do it efficiently and therefore what did they look comfortable in. In one case, there was a fitness model And it's kind of a head and shoulder shot, and I posted it on Facebook, and we can post them on our website. I can send you the Minus Comic Sans, and you can post them on our, our website. But she has sort of dark hair, and she sort of had her hand up in her hair. I just said, you know, what kind of modeling do you do? And she says, oh, I'm more of a fitness model. And I said, well, what's a typical pose that you would do? And she just did that and snap, and it was like, all right, done. You know, that's just and I immediately knew when I looked at the LCD, I was like, got it, like that was perfect, right?
What'd you shoot with? You took your 6D?
I took the 6D. I shot primarily with the 50mm.
Okay.
Because I knew I was going to get different setups, and I didn't want to be, you know, changing lenses a whole bunch. So I shot a few with the 85mm right towards the end, but everything else with the 50mm. Didn't even bring the 70 to 200. Just didn't want to carry it for 6 hours to shoot portraits. So
no, absolutely.
Yeah. But the funny thing was, I'd say at least half of the photographers were using gigantic, you know, 70 to 200s. I think if you own one, it's like, all right, chance to just rip off a ton with this lens, right?
I would, my instinct would have been the 85, but now that you say it, the 50 is probably a better choice because you can get up close and sort of, you know, I think the whole idea of this is sort of the intimacy of it.
Yeah.
And connecting, and you can get up close and shoot that way and not be sort of intimidating with this giant lens.
Well, and also with the 85, some of the problem was is some of these little lighting setups are pretty tight.
Yeah.
And so the 85 just wasn't doable. And so I figured, rather, when I kind of scoped it out and looked at where some of the spots we were shooting, I'm like, well, some of them make sense for the 85, but some of them don't. Whereas the 50mm, you can use it across the board. So that's why I went with the 50 until right at the end. And then I just figured, hey, I brought the 85, I better use it. So I took a few shots with it. And actually, my favorite shot was actually with the 85 at the end of it. So,
and so, how long did it take for you to get out of your comfort zone? Like, I mean, sorry, get into comfort zone, because this I would say is not your comfort zone.
Yeah, I was comfortable the whole time. To be honest, I walked in, and it's neat because this studio is in Gastown, and you walk in, and the outside of it just looks like nothing, and then you walk inside, and it's like it is cool. I mean, I think it's called Gastown Studios, and the guy, you know, basically makes professional sets, and so he changes them all the time. So the guy that owns the studio, I'm saying, who is a friend of Dwayne's, he makes professional sets and he changes them every month or so. So they had, you know, all these different setups that he put up specifically for us. So you walk out on a street where it looks like, you know, you're pretty much walking in the mean streets of Vancouver, if there are mean streets, and you come into the studio, it's like a whole different world, and you got the makeup artists getting the models ready, and it just, you feel like you're stepping into this bizarro world. And then after, I don't know, 10 minutes, because Dwayne's kind of, you know, talking us up while the models are getting ready. I mean, by the time they're ready, everybody is, I think, totally comfortable. And what Dwayne says about, you know, shooting models and that is that usually he doesn't get his best shots until the models get comfortable, right? So,
right.
And I found that that's probably the case. And I think that there's definitely a benefit. I never on any station went first. Like, that was just, I'm going to sit back and let the other guys, you know, take their turns. And then once the models are kind of comfortable, I find that more likely to get good shots, considering I'm also not going to take many shots. So there's something to be said for that. One of the other things I learned, almost every photo that I liked, the ones that I really liked, and I don't know if this is just specific to boudoir, or maybe it's just me, I liked all my photos where they're not looking directly at the lens. So seemed like, you know, there's a little bit more mystery, and I don't know, in boudoir, there's, in my mind anyways, there's an element of, there's that mystery, almost a little bit, you know, should I be doing this? Should I be looking at this kind of feel? And I think it was captured better when they're not looking directly at the lens. Again, just my take on it. So others feel free to voice their opinions, but,
wrong.
Yeah, wrong. But it's something about, and not way off lens, just slightly off lens.
Okay, like there's just, your takeaway. That's the takeaway. Yeah. I think I'm gonna write down.
Yeah, write it down. Yeah.
Just off, because I mean, I think it'll apply to other. I happen to like that in other scenarios as well. I mean, this is the thing is I want to pose this question without seeming like a giant creep, But like, how do you take certain takeaways from boudoir photography and apply it to shooting pictures of your kids and their friends?
Right. Yeah.
Now, that's a creepy move. However, a certain, like what you said right there about looking away, boom, that's going to apply in many other situations as well.
Absolutely. And I don't know if we really ever talked about that prior to this. I mean, we must have, but nothing comes to mind. But yeah, when everybody's instinct is to look right at the lens on every picture, and sometimes that's great, sometimes that's what you want, but it changes, I don't know, everything, the feel of the photo completely, 180 degrees when you don't look directly at the camera. So something always just to throw in there, if you're taking 10 photos, to just try it and see what you get.
It's called breaking the fourth wall in movies, and because when you build a set, you have three walls, and then there's the camera. The camera is the fourth wall.
Right.
And except for Ferris Bueller, you don't break the fourth wall.
Okay.
If someone, no one ever looks at the camera in movies or TV unless it's, you know, on purpose, and then it really takes you out of it. You know, it was hilarious in Ferris Bueller's Day Off when he addresses the camera, but generally you don't, and that's exactly what you're describing now. Is there is a different feeling to the photograph.
You know what was also very educational as far as the whole experience goes is that. So everybody basically took photos of the same models. I mean, sometimes they moved it to different stations. So sometimes it wasn't the exact same model at the exact same station as everyone else. But at least within your group, you were taking all your photos under the same lighting conditions with the same models. And then everyone posted, you know, some of their photos back to this meetup page. Mm-hmm. And that experience of looking at everybody else's photos, given pretty much the same situation, models, lighting, everything, and how wildly different everybody's photos look. Like that part of it, I'm sure it's an exercise that photo clubs do all the time where everybody takes photos of the same thing and then you kind of get together and show your photos and so you can see how people do things differently. But what a great instrument in terms of figuring out what you did well, what you could have done better. I don't think there's anything better than that, because I mean, I went through everyone's photos and I was fascinated at how different they looked under, like you say, the exact same situation, and some of which I thought were, I should have done mine differently, you know, I would have got that result, and others I thought, wow, I'm way better than you.
So that's the important one.
Ignore
the rest of them.
So I just thought it was really quite a good way. So I mean, if you, and for anyone out there that has, you know, maybe even just one other photographer friend, but even two or three would be probably better. And to, you know, pick a subject or do a photo shoot with a friend or a sibling or a spouse, and you know, everybody just, you know, set it up and take their own photos one after another, and then compare the results after. I mean, some of it will help as far as how the editing process is done after, but also I just found like the angle or tilt of the head or where the light was placed and the shadows created completely changes how the photo looks. So it was a good exercise for myself. So in terms of a takeaway for me, I've gone back three or four times to that meetup site to keep checking for other people's photos to get an idea of, oh, how did they pose them, or what was their depth of field, or what was the killer pose that really worked for that particular model. So
takeaway.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, that's a great learning tool right there.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, we'll post a link on the site to Dwayne's site, and people can check it out for himself and for themselves, and hopefully show up to one of these things. And I was really, when you told me you were going, I was a little bit, I'm just, you know, good for you, but I was bummed that I was out of town when this is happening. So hopefully next time I'm in town, we can make that happen.
And I don't know, but this whole meetup.com thing seems like a bigger thing than I was aware of. And so when everybody was already a part of this, and again, it's a good way to share photos, I felt like, all right, I had no idea what this was or is. And I'm thinking that it's probably bigger than just Vancouver. But if not, if anyone's in Vancouver and likes photography, they should 100% be on there to check out, you know, photo walks or groups or whatever. And if Al ever comes to Vancouver and we ever do that sort of meetup would be an easy way to get people together. So
it's in the works, buddy. It's gonna happen soon. So I'll give you a spoiler alert, hopefully this summer.
Wow, coming this summer. Two Hosers photo walk.
Yeah. things are looking good for that. So
Two Hosers Gastown Studios.
Okay. You're all twisting right. my arm now.
Yeah.
Okay.
No models though. Just no us. Models. You can take pictures of us. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Photo challenge for next week. I got one.
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from thinking up fantastic photo challenges.
You are thinking. No, I went more broad this time to give you a chance to tell a story or technique or whatever it is that you want to do. Have the person not look at the camera. Photo challenge this week is evening. Because the days are getting longer and you got daylight savings there. So evening takes on a different meaning now than it did 2 months ago, for me anyways.
Okay.
So that's it. That's the photo challenge. Websites. Adam, where can people find all the pictures that you just talked about?
Two Hosers Facebook page. I'm not even saying Schwartz Chronicles. Right. I quit.
Thanks a lot.
I quit the Schwartz Chronicles.
That's where Peter Parker got his start too. So.
Yeah, how about yours?
AlanAttridge.com, or you can find the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you need to know about the stuff we just talked about and probably more, like our link to our Facebook site.
Okay.
That's it, Adam.
Great.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.